It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So it's been quite a tricky morning because it's Candy's Carty Williams and Ray Black coming over. But Ray is ill, and we only found out like an hour ago. So we were like, do we cancel? But we thought, no. We're just gonna have Candies around. Yeah, I do actually have quite a lot I want to talk to her about. So
do you know what?
I want to talk to her about. And I've made this beautiful golden milk. This is the perfect thing to have after like on a stressful morning. Look at that colour. And this is just oat milk, turmeric. Mum and Deli have put some chamomile flowers in it.
Yeah, because we just go back some stuff.
A little bit of star anise and a cinnamon stick. Golden milk is so easy and it's so soothing and beautiful.
It's
like
the
drink of life. It's like the drink of life.
So today, Makita, do you know what I'm actually making today?
Yeah, well, I know it's fried fish.
Woo! Yeah, we're making a little bit of fried fish, and we're making chop up. You love Antiguan chop up.
Yeah.
Which is kind of okra and spinach and black-eyed peas. It's like a real classic Antiguan breakfasty, brunchy dish. And I've made plantain and coconut fungi.
Oh, my God.
And fish gravy.
Oh, my God.
So don't even chat to me, Brofia. That's how I feel today.
No, I'm actually really happy that we're having kind of breakfasty brunch today that we're having golden milk.
It's the first time we've had a, like, the brunch.
Yeah.
So I've made like a kind of Antiguan brunch, really.
Lucky me.
So we've got plantain and coconut fungi.
Wow.
We've got fried fish, you know, straight up fried fish. And then this is what we call chop up in Antigua. So it's black eyed peas, okra, two different kinds of spinach, a little bit of ginger and, you know, things. And then I've made like a little bit of fish gravy.
Delicious.
Because all food must have gravy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're quite a gravy. So
are you a gravy person?
I'm like a wet up the food person.
Wet up the food. Yeah, I don't trust dry food.
Right?
There's something.
That's very much me.
So, Candice, how is life right now?
I know it's busy. I got back from LA. I got back last week and I pretended I was still there.
Really?
Yeah. So I sort of.
Oh.
Because you should. Because it means. Because when you're there, everyone's like, when are you home? And you're like, ah. Oh. So I was just like, I'm still out there.
And then
someone's going to do the maths and be like, how is she on the plane? But now she's with Makita and Andy. But
we really figured it out for you. I'm sorry.
That's a really good idea.
Exactly. So you can use
that. I'm still away.
I just needed to get away.
Nice.
And I was like, somewhere that I can be with a big enough time difference that I can, but I can't be on the Zoom.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
God, you really thought this?
It's a whole do not disturb kind of break.
Yeah. I really have thought this through. Yeah.
Quite an impressive complex.
I know, but I'm giving away my trade secret.
Yeah.
But you it's know? Been, I mean, sequence. I suppose it's been.
Let me give you some fungi.
Thank you.
In general, it's been an insane four years for you. But also now that kind of all the TV work is alongside everything. Like I was obviously
expanding.
Queenie. Yeah, expanding and evolving and growing. I'm quite excited that you're
in our world now. I mean, not that TV drama is our world, but just the world.
Also,
of
screeners. Help yourself.
Thank you.
The world of yeah. How are you finding TV in general? The world
TV
of it.
TV is a very interesting place to be.
It's a good word for it,
isn't it? Like, it's just a pace that I have never been used to, and it feels like with books, it was me and like my editor,
right?
For like 3 years, it was me and this one person, and I would be like,
and is that with Queenie,
and then with People Person, it was just kind of like me and this one person. And then you have an American editor, but like they're kind of with it because they bought the book because they liked it. So it's just you and like maximum 2-3 people.
Yes.
And then it's really nice and you kind of do what you need to do. And then with TV, it's like immediately 10 people.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have like, that's like the production team. And then obviously you have like networks who are like, okay, we want this or we don't want this. And you're like,
Why can you request talking things? To me about it?
Yeah, like, that's weird. Because with books, like your editor's kind of like, here's the steer.
Yeah,
and this is what you need to do. And then you might get someone who'll come in and be like, you've said it's Thursday, it's clearly a Tuesday. And you're like, all right, cool, I'll change that. But with TV, someone is like, we don't like this one word. I think you need to find like 7 different words.
Right.
And you're like, oh, okay. And so like every single like line of script is torn to shreds.
So that's quite a big adaptation for you as a creative person, because it's basically having more interference with your process.
Yes.
Exactly. I like teamwork.
Let's wet up.
I like working this the
let's
time.
Let's wet up.
I like working with people, so that's really, really nice.
Yeah.
But that's when it's... I think TV is quite, just generally quite an anxious field.
There is an anxiety
in
TV, I think, because things move quickly, people's jobs change quickly, and people lose things quickly. So I think people are very worried all the time that they're going to be displaced or replaced or something's not going to work out for them. So there's all these other agendas playing into a lot of things, I think.
And you just kind of have to be, I've learned to be quite patient with it and understanding of that, rather than be like, what do you want from me? Do you know what I mean?
Why are you calling me again? but isn't that interesting? That change in approach, like, because we, as you know, the big thing we learn in life is like how you react to things is all you can control. And I get very like, oh, gotcha, short, and then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to ruin my week.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I'm curious as to what I wonder what this email's about, another email. So I've really noticed that with being better in my work and loving my work more is about like, how do I want to be in this today?
Mm-hmm. And how you talk to yourself about it's really important, isn't it? Like, so we replaced, I'm curious about this. Instead of you're really getting on my nerves, we have a word. It's like, no, I'm very curious as to
instead
what you really mean. Because just saying that instead of the irritation word or the...
Or worried.
Kind of, or worried. I'm really worried. I'm really worried. If you keep saying that, then you end up in a constant state of anxiety.
The thing is, I am quite interested because I like learning.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This is delicious,
is
by
it?
The way.
Yeah.
I've learned so much in TV from like my first project till now.
Mm.
I've taken so much from the first to the second because that's what you do. So I'm trying to, you know, you lean in.
You know, that's a very TV chat there.
Nice, isn't it?
I've not
become one of them.
I think this year you'll find out the people are leaning back. Last year they were leaning in, this year they're leaning back.
Yes, they are. Away from the table.
I read that it was when you were expelled that you... your stepdad said, we'll go to the library then, and you went every day.
Oh my God, I was excluded.
Excluded.
Please,
wait, which one's worse?
My name. It's worse to be expelled.
That's
when you're expelled, you're gone from
that's
school.
That's it.
I was excluded.
What is this? Such a horrible word, Brooke. Excluded.
It's again, for something I didn't do. I just always want to clear my name on that. So yes, I spent all my time in the library. And actually, it was such a safe space for me.
Yeah. You know what? When I was... Because I grew up in Bury St Edmunds in Suffolk. What is that? Fungy face. It's the face of everything.
I got everything on the
Everything
floor.
On the
floor. Oh, yeah, nice.
You know, I was doing it secretly. I was like, I'm just trying to...
So important to get that at least a few times in a meal.
A little bit of the fish, a little bit of the chop up, a little bit of the kraut, a little bit of the fungi. Yes, that's a party right there. It's a good brunch, right?
Oh my God, and the golden milk. I'm proud of us today, guys.
Seriously, we pulled
really
this together
it.
Fast.
You really smashed it.
And when I would occasionally bunk off school, I would go and sit in the library because it just felt like... There was something velvety about the way that it was quiet, because there was a lot of noise at school. You know, there was a lot of racist stuff going on, and it was Suffolk, it was the 70s, it was grim situation. So I think I just used to want to shut up. Do you know what I mean? And the library was such a... And then I could, of course, lose myself
in other stories. I think also libraries attract that kind of person. So I feel like you're always around, like, a good energy in the library. I've never met a bad energy person.
It's not full of, like, dickheads, is it?
Do you know what I mean? Really, like, where they from, go. Like, staff to, like, someone who's, like, a volunteer. It's just nice. Mm. I think I wanted to be a librarian when I was growing up.
But did you?
Do you know what I mean? That was the plan.
That would have been a nice life.
I keep thinking, like, what would my life have been like if I hadn't... Yeah. done any of this stuff, and I think it would be really nice.
Oh, don't. What's your it's called something though? It's
grass
called,
is always greener.
No, it's called now it's got a sort of slightly more modern term about sort of like the other life, or taking a look at it and how it can be quite useful to sort of live in it.
Did you plan things? How did you start writing?
I started writing because I worked in publishing, had a really nice time there, worked at HarperCollins. And
is this like mid-noughties?
I was 25. That was 9 years ago.
Mm. What was publishing world like when you were 25?
It's like 2012.
That was a great time.
Really?
It was a lovely time. I spent all my time drunk and like running around with my friend Lettuce. Like, we just had the best time. And we were both at juniors. I was a marketing assistant. She was an editorial assistant. So we had no responsibility. Right. And so we just like, but we'd work really hard, but we'd also play really hard.
And do you think you've seen it change in other ways? Because Mum's only just written her first book in her late 50s.
Congrats.
And so publishing world was something we didn't know anything about, really. We were
It's interesting you talking about it, because for me, the shift into and starting to work in publishing world, I couldn't believe how slow everything moves.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, they'd be like, okay, so in July. I'd be like, July? It's October, we're talking about next July.
There was so much like low-key planning.
Yeah, and I think that was really quite a difficult shift for me. I had the opposite to you, because I was like, I'm a very like, okay, let's get this done, boom, ba-da-ba, boom, ba-da-ba. Do you know what I mean? And then I was like, okay. So I'll see you in a little bit.
A lot of patience it takes to be in this world.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But it's nice. Like, it's very gentle. And as I said, people are just very kind, and they're just like, I buy a book because I love it and not because like it's going to make like £1 million. You know what I mean? So the imperative is not financial.
Yeah.
A lot of editors work on things because they like to.
Oh, you see, it's possibly quite unique.
It is.
Because no other creative industry, the industry around every other creative endeavor is about the cash, dollar bill, money now. Like, you know, music, forget about it. You know, you've got one album out, you haven't had a hit, I'll see you later.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, I was thinking that's interesting because Queenie was such a massive success so quickly, and suddenly it was so everywhere. And for someone who doesn't make plans, how do you deal with huge success?
I just don't think I didn't deal with it. Luckily, I had like support. My editor is incredible. My editor's called Katie, my UK editor. And like, even yesterday, I was messaging her and I was like, just want to say thank you for always believing in me. And she was like, I will love you till the end. Aww. And I will love her till the end, because she's always been there and she's always understood that I'm quite sensitive, very sensitive. And I'm really affected by things. And she's always known how to deal with that. And she knew that I was just overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed the entire time. Mm. Hated my book launch. Like, you know, loved it because it was like all my people and all of my like family and friends. But at the time, I was like, being perceived was really, really tough, like really, really difficult. And so I just had to roll with it and just understand that, like, suddenly there was this exposure, but not just exposure to people, but also people like coming up to me and being like, why did you do that in the book? Why didn't you do something else? Or like someone on the tube being like, why doesn't Queenie do this? Like, why is she so annoying? You just have to be like, okay, like Goodreads, like literally in real life, like all the time.
Right? That's quite interesting, isn't it? Because I think what happens when people love something you do is that they feel ownership.
Absolutely.
They feel a certain amount of ownership because they commit to it.
Invest in it.
Yeah, invest in it. That's the word I'm
searching
for.
So much.
Yes.
Mm. Like, and that's
so
really,
much.
And that's fine. It's really, really... But I have such a thick skin. Weirdly, terrible family life. So I've heard every single thing. come at me from like people that are meant to love me. So when a stranger is like, this is irritating, I'm like, okay, fine. I'll take it on.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Because when I read People Person, I loved all the dialogue between the siblings. There's five siblings, but in your life, you have 9 siblings.
Yes, and like others.
I was fascinated because they're not nice to each other, but they talk to each other like they're family. Yeah. And I was like, I've always loved your writing, especially when the dialogue and the way people talk about things together. But did you have to steer away from writing about your actual siblings when you were writing about siblings in People Person?
Yes, but it's easy because I don't know them.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So I was like, I know the essence of them and they're all kind of, you know, they're individuals. We don't really have a relationship. I have a relationship with my eldest sister on my dad's side. And she's a person who is like weirdly the closest thing I have to a parent. Wow. And so, like, when anything goes wrong, she's the person that I call up.
What does family mean to you then? Because we have a very broad idea of family and, you know, the people that we think about as family, and it changes and expands and grows all the time. And I guess there's people in who are very, very close who have always sort of been there, but it does keep moving and shifting.
Yeah, that's the best part about it, I think.
I think family to me has never been anything nuclear. So my mum's single mum, she raised me, and then my sister is 9 years younger than me. And she's always shown me that, like, it's something that's difficult, but it's also, like, that's how life is, though. That's okay. So I've never in my home life seen, I guess, like, the idea of, like, two parents and being like, okay, that's the thing, that's the goal, that's my aspiration. And actually, really, because of that, I've never in my life ever, if I thought about having kids, it was always by myself. I'd never thought about having a partner ever, weirdly. And I, like, even if I try and access it, I'm like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like something that I want to do.
And for you, you live in South London.
Streatham.
Streatham.
Yes.
Always?
I started in Streatham with, like, my family, and then I've moved to, like, everywhere, but it's always been in South London, obviously.
See, I'm falling in love with South London at the moment. So I'm having an emotional love affair with South.
Okay, I love that.
And I'm actively going to be there a lot over the next few weeks.
She wants to know if there are fit men.
No, Mama.
Yes, she's
not about that. It's not just about that. It's not just about that. Although I can't look at the men of East London anymore. But it's not just about that.
I think
I like the parks as well.
Good looking men kind of come to visit South London. But I don't think they stay. Do you know what I mean?
So they're just visiting.
Yeah. So if that's what you want, I don't think South is the place for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So talk to us a little bit about Champion, because I've been watching Champion avidly.
Have
I'm on
you?
Episode 7. I'm in. Wow. I'm quite team.
Great question. Right.
I'm fairly heavily involved.
Amazing. You have one left. So
I'm team Vita, obviously. I'm team Vita, obviously. Team Vita. How much of that were you involved with the casting and all that? So, because it's brilliantly cast. The writing's obviously excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But the casting is really good and the direction is excellent as well.
So all of it, I'm involved in everything. So when you're like the showrunner, you are just, like, even like curtains, you're like, that's the right curtain for this. I don't really like, that's not really working. Like coasters, the tiny fridge magnets.
Like, do you know that. What, as you're saying, so I want that role. As you're saying yes. That gives me a thrill. That's so you're funny. Like Ava Doobie Doobie.
Yeah. Or you like know, Shonda.
Shonda, that's who I mean.
Oh my Shonda. God, Candice, you're Shonda. Shonda. It's the Shonda in a way, role.
In a way.
Shonda
role. And
right.
So, yeah, you have to, like, every, you are, your eyes are on every single thing all the time.
So that's
like
exhausting, that. But God, also sorry. Great if you are quite controlling, because
yeah.
Those details matter.
Yeah, exactly, because if the curtain wasn't right, I wouldn't believe it was his flat. Do you know what I mean? It's like... detail.
And you'd be for sitting sure. there thinking, why has that man got big iron yeah. pots when he clearly yeah. has never cooked a yeah. thing in his life? Or yeah. whatever.
There was that, I think we had that even Queenie. I was like, those pots aren't right, they're too expensive for her. And someone runs in and then they just like take the pots away, they replace it with like a cheaper pot, and you're like, okay, good. Basically, my job is to just stare at the frame and be like, wow. What doesn't make sense has to go. I irritate a lot of people on my job, I'm sure. But mm-hmm. that is, but that's fine.
Brilliant.
It is
what it is. And the idea of that, I also want her job.
Yeah, I didn't know that the showrunner yeah. had that much sort of overseeing.
I didn't know that's what it was called, actually.
Showrunning. So yeah, you are on set pretty much every day.
Running the show.
And you are basically, yeah, you're in charge of that. And also just making sure everyone is okay and looking after people. So everyone kind of falls under the umbrella of care in that way.
And that a really good person in that role is also really taking care of people. Because some people just take care of what's on the screen and they don't think about the rest of it. So actually, I guess if you're doing it right, you have to think.
To me.
Yeah, I agree.
Because also, like, I care a lot about people. And I can't imagine someone leaving a set and being miserable or being sad or feeling like they haven't done a good job, because I don't think that anyone turns up to work to do shit. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think everyone turns up to their best. And if their best like, hasn't worked or they're not feeling great, it's like, let's talk about that. So I spend a lot of time talking to people and being like, what can we do? What can we change? How do you feel? Which is a hard part of the job because you're absorbing lots of emotions every day. Mm-hmm. But it's also necessary because you don't want anyone to just... I hate people feeling like they aren't good. Or like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's they're not reaching their potential and that's, or and they don't, like, there's room to grow.
Exactly. It's like, how can I help you to do that? So I like to be really chatty and approachable when I'm on a set because I think that's important. I don't really believe in like hierarchy and all that shit because it's like, no.
Well, I don't think you get best results either. In the end, all of that to me shows up in the end job, in the end product.
Like in the kitchen. Screen.
Like in the kitchen, like, you know, on food, we have a thing about bad vibe food. When we have a kitchen, there's no shouting. There's no cussing people. There's no throwing. It's like we're making food for people. Nobody wants that energy in their food. And you go to some restaurants, you think this looks really nice, but I don't want to eat it.
Yeah.
Because it's bad vibe. Do you know what I mean? Because it's bad vibe food. And I think the same thing happens with stuff on screen. You can almost feel that kind of tension, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, it's like, it's bad business as well as bad humaning.
Of course.
It's also bad business.
What if we do good.
So you know the Naya Bingi drummers, the Rasta ceremonial drummers, Rastafarian ceremonial drummers, they have that, but they have a particular rhythm. Mm-hmm. And in the rhythm, what they're chanting is do good, do good. And we were so moved by it when we found that out. I'd never heard that before. That's I didn't amazing. Know it. Isn't that beautiful?
Do you know what? It was such an extraordinary experience for us to be able to learn about our ancestry. Do you know much about yours?
My sister is a genealogist, my big sister.
Wow.
So she's told me like a lot of stuff, which is really helpful. So that is my dad's side, though. My mum's side is a lot murkier. My granddad
is your mother
Indian? They're half Indian. My granddad is Indian, but was raised in Jamaica.
Right.
And when I did my genealogy stuff the other day, just to find out like what the breakdown was, I'm like 13% Italian, which is really funny.
13,
which is like quite high. That's so I went straight to my granddad and I was like, what's this about? This is you. And he was like, I don't want to talk about it.
What?
And I was like, huh, like what do you mean? And he was like, I don't trouble things. And I was like, but who?
So he knew already.
I have no idea.
Like,
and I won't know. He won't tell me. He won't talk about it.
Oh my God, no, we must know more. Like, there's
how
Italian.
Do I? Who do you think you are? Come on.
Yeah, let's go. Do you know let's what I mean? Go. You know, we need some BBC researchers on this.
Do you know what I mean?
You need a team.
What is that? And that's like a big percentage of something. So it's like, the main things like Nigerian, South Asian, Italian.
I'm 38% Nigerian, I discovered.
Of course, yeah.
Well, my best friend went, no shit.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we all, yeah. I think the majority of us, I came from there.
From that, all that right down that coast, yeah. Is Ghana, Nigeria, and Mali, Benin, yeah. Togo, all
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, we had some Togo.
We had all of that in there. One of the things about Champion that I loved is what you're really good at, Candace, is really, for me, it's like showing worlds that I recognise so deeply, properly, fully, that genuinely and generally I've never seen on screen or in books.
Yes.
It's like, you know, if I'd grown up reading about girls like Queenie, I'd have felt a lot better, that's for sure. Do you know what I mean? Just recognise. Recognition, I guess, is what I'm talking about. But are there people that you look to for inspiration for things, like people who created dramas, or like we love This Is Us.
Yeah,
and there's a guy,
is
he called Dan Fogelman, I think.
Yes.
We call him Fogues. We're like, what would Fogues
friend
do?
Of the fat, friend of the
never met him, we just call him Fogues. But he's just like, what would Fogues do? What
but
Fogues
just
do?
Because like, we think he's an ultimate storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this incredible way of threading the stories of life throughout, that sort of episodically, without confusing you, bringing you back and forth through
really
time.
Really complicated, but it's clear. But at the same time, yeah. Is there anyone that like really inspires you like that?
Do you know what? I really like The Real Life, and so like I love Succession, because it's just kind of like, I like that sort of like we're in the room with these people, and there's not been, obviously there's been like editing, all of that stuff, but it feels like we're just kind of like watching this family at work.
Yeah.
And I love family stuff, and I love like family deception and interplay. Like, I think that's really, really fun. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. But also like, I want to see people that has kind of watched everything as I've grown up. Like TV is one of my, like it raised me in that classic way of just being like, I've watched something and I've like taken something on from that. And I remember being young and being really aware that there weren't a lot of black faces on our screens. Mm. And so I would just obviously watch American stuff. And so I think I quite like high drama because I'm so sort of American in my storytelling because of how I grew up and because of what I've seen. And so I think the like Shonda Rhimes, like Grey's Anatomy, incredible. Had to stop watching it because it was just too sad. And I was just like
kept
crying.
She kept breaking my heart.
Every single episode. Like it was just like the trauma was so high. Mm. But also like Scandal. Do you know what I mean? Like, Scandal, that was the one that just, like, really got me going.
I never did Scandal.
Oh, I got right into Scandal. But then you know, sometimes, like, you get, like, four series in and then you drop off.
Yeah, I think I
like
did
dropped
that.
Off with Scandal. Something happened and I sort of didn't pick
Stay
up.
Stay true to Grey's though, didn't you?
Stay true to Grey's.
Nothing can break that bond.
I will also say Michaela Cole has done incredible things for TV that I'm always going to be very grateful for.
Yeah.
And I love how in Chewing Gum she was just so funny.
Yeah.
I think that was, I've just, to see a black woman just be funny and silly. Yeah. And like even physical comedy is amazing because obviously as black women we're always taught to like hold us, even physically hold ourselves properly.
Yes.
But she was not concerned with any of that stuff.
Also, she's got that look on her face that just makes me want to laugh. But she looks all like she's about to do something really naughty all the time. Those eyes, I'm just like, oh my God, what's she going to do?
Exactly. And in I Made It Shree, she did another thing that got us. Oh, I think she's really amazing at approaching the parts of life that black women are told that we're not really meant to engage in. And I think it's that, but also she convinced TV executives to support her and put that on.
Can you imagine
that? That's the thing for me. I think she's really incredibly persuasive.
She's very persuasive.
Yeah.
And she's,
I believe her in a pitch meeting. Do you know what I mean?
She's kind of intellectually very nimble, isn't she?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? When you hear her being interviewed, when you read things that she's written, she's a very fascinating woman. I love her. What do you think's next for you then? I mean, obviously, there's a lot going on. Champion's been received well. It's really, really great. You can
and
make
Queenie's
more.
Coming out when?
Oh, yeah, Queenie's coming out soon, right?
Queenie's coming out. So after this, I'm going to the edit. So it's coming out, I don't know when, but like soonish. Sooner than I thought.
But that's right, be in that edit.
That's
right?
Good. No, I like being
in the edit. So was that your first, so the Queenie TV project, was that your first telly project then?
So it was, we started developing it. And then Champion came along and that got greenlit quite quickly, which was amazing. And then after it got greenlit, Channel 4 were like, okay, let's greenlight Queenie too. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my goodness.
So I was just doing, for a long time, I was developing both. And then Champion just started filming first, and then they had to hold off on Queenie so I could be ready to leave Champion and come. So I just kind of picked myself up off of one project and sort of like...
Palace, that's a lot.
Yes,
that's two massive, huge life changes. You know, people dream of one of those things happening.
I think the thing is, for me, it was just that TV wasn't the thing I ever planned to do. Yeah. And so that's why I was like, oh, okay. So it's a big adjustment with not a lot of support.
Yes.
Because who is going to support you on that? Do you know what I mean?
Even now, there isn't sort of, you don't feel like there's that support.
I don't know. I think there could always be more, right? So it's like the people checking in on me, like my producer on Queenie, Lisa, gives me support on Queenie and on like Champion having come out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's that. So it's like, I think like the thing comes out and everyone's like, oh my God, yeah, it's really great. It's amazing. And it's like, but there's still stuff that happens and there's still stuff that you're thinking about and stuff that you're like fielding and people who are like happy or some people that are unhappy. And so you're like, this is a lot to do. And I just, again, was meant to just write books.
On two massive series as well. They're both huge things and with high expectation. You know, there are people are waiting. People are waiting for Champion. I'm waiting personally for Queenie, so 100%. That's a lot of expectation.
Just an Oliver expectation. Just in the Oliver household.
No, but that's okay. And I think that I like that. I like being held in a high standard and I like try and deliver a high standard because that is important. So because I don't want to get complacent and be like, well, they'll get what they're given. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like, it's
absolutely important
for me to love what I'm working on and to watch it and be like, yes, that bangs. Like, that has to be the measure, you know?
Oprah says, be excellent, people notice.
Right?
Yeah.
You see?
Right?
Yeah.
Take it out here.
Oprah's Makita's god, by the way.
I mean, fair enough. Yeah. I mentioned that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, she got me through a lot, Kenny.
She's got a lot of us through a lot.
But this is, I wanted to just say, though, I really feel what you mean by you sort of, your life gets a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. Really quickly, and for Black women, I that's just made me feel a lot better about sometimes falling into the fact that why does this feel so hard? And it's like, because I'm doing a lot of things that I wasn't told I could do.
Yeah.
So it is hard because there's this other layer of pushing and fighting, but we are all in a very powerful place right now. And I just want to say thank the universe for that. It's nice to be at a table with my mother and you and know that we're all flying and thriving in our world.
Should we have a little cheers?
A golden milk cheers.
Golden milk cheers.
To the nectar of life.
And thank you so much for coming to our home.
Thank you so much. Because I was so
thank you.
Well, I'm obsessed.
Today was a massive exercise in a surrender. You just keep surrendering. I was like, well, this day's difficult. And because, you know, we had Ray Black cancelled this morning because she's ill, poor thing. And I was like, oh, right, well, then we just don't really. And you were like, let's just have Candice around.
She's just lovely, isn't she? Mm. Her energy was very much as I thought it was going to be. She's incredibly level in the way that she expresses herself, but what she's expressing is really complex and interesting and fascinating. She's got really sort of almost like quite a dry, very witty delivery.
Yeah.
Like Fake LA is one of the best things I've ever heard. She was in Fake LA for a week.
Her bed.
What a fantastic
idea. We've got to stop bringing her out.
I know. No one's ever going to believe her.
She's anywhere. But she is everywhere. And that's why I wanted to say that as we were sort of getting to the end of the conversation. It was like, this really does fill me up to meet other people in the world that are suddenly in a powerful place.
Yeah.
And what do you do with that? And also understanding how much work it takes to not just get to that place, but to stay in that place and to just be in that place. Me and you are working really hard at the moment as well and doing incredible things, but there is a lot of pressure and a lot of expectation. And I think sometimes it's nice to just hear someone else go, I'm also working really hard and this is what it looks like the insides of my life.
Also, I really... I found the conversation quite thought-provoking. I really want to reread Queenie now because I love Queenie and I kind of miss her a little bit, actually, having spoken to Candice. And I also, it's just really wonderful to meet a woman who is doing all these huge, powerful, exciting things, which she is. Really, it is very powerful that what's happening in her life and her creativity and that she embarks upon it with such fastidious attention to detail.
Yeah.
I really like that. You know, when she was talking about, I think my favourite thing that she said was talking about the people on set and making sure that she wants everybody to feel like they've given everything that they can in that day and that they're reaching their potential and there's room for them to grow.
Yeah.
I just thought, what a brilliant human you are.
And just something that's in her. She was like, that's the way I need to do it. That's the way I need to do things. But then once you meet her, you're like, of course that's the way you do
things. Of course that's the way she... Why would she... Because she just wouldn't ever not do it that moves. Fully.
But I'm going to use Candace as my door to South, although she thinks maybe what I'm looking for isn't there. I think she may be wrong. That's not all I'm looking for! I love the parks!
Sure.
Very interesting.
Green getting spaces.
To know Kennington Park
green
better.
Space. Makita Oliver, green spaces.
Correct.
No, you do love a green space.
Thank you. And I'd love to explore the parks further with Candace.
Yes. Is that what we're calling
Carty Williams?
The parks. So I have a question for you.
What?
Are you enjoying the podcast? Doing it, making it?
Yeah, don't you feel like you've learned like a million things in the last few months? I'm like, oh, I didn't know about that before.
What I think I'm learning is that I like the autonomy of this. I like the freedom of this. I love having people over here.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to kind of do something. I'll tell you what I'm glad about. I'm so glad that this is what we chose to do.
Next.
And this is how we chose to do it. There was all of those ideas back that all felt really kind of contrived. I'm really glad that we're just doing what we do in our life.
Anyway.
Because it just feels really natural. Giving people food. I can't imagine doing this without cooking.
I know, or without, like, it being here at yours.
Yeah, yeah. Where would we be? In some weird studio? Yeah.
No,
I think it's great. And the response I'm getting, like, out, because I've been away loads, as you know, obviously, but... like, people are coming up to me and sending me messages all the time, just going, oh, my God, I was going to listen to all. I've listened to all six. Oh, my God, this is my favourite. I like this one. I like Itamar Asari. I loved Ed. I loved, you know, Steve. And, like, different people are responding to different guests. It's fun.
But that's the great thing about being able to just make something and just put it out in the world.
Yeah.
Because a lot of other things we do in our life, there's a lot more to it than that. And this just feels very immediate.
Yes.
And it feels like... just good to keep giving stuff to people and keep putting something out.
I think
when
it
we
works,
want and how we want.
You know how we were talking about how publishing slows one down because it moves quite slowly. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a different pace. I think this naturally suits our pace of doing things because we do it and it's out before you know it. Like within days, it's out.
Yeah.
And having something that immediate and that kind of quick turnaround, I really like that.
Yeah, I'm into that pace.
I'm into that place. Like, get it done, did. Get it done, did.
Get it done, did.
Get it done, did, though.
No, and it feels good to watch it grow. I think we're just going to keep learning more and more.
Yeah.
It's like Stirring Up is out in the world now. Tell us what you think.
Tell us what you think.
You like?
You like. We like.
We like.
We like. You like. Cheers. Is that you? Hang on. You've got golden milk. I've got no golden milk. How did that happen? Bored one piece.
It's a puzzle.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.